Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and encourage each other in prayer. So how are you at waiting? Waiting. I admit, I am prone to impatience myself. I don't wait well. I have been told that I get that from my grandmother. Well, grandmother has been with the Lord for over 40 years. But I do remember when I was little how Grandma used to wait outside her house for us to pick her up each Sunday to go to church. She could have just as easily and much more comfortably waited inside her house than she did in bad weather. But so often, I remember years and years and years, we would round the corner of her street and we could see all the way down the street and standing at the end of her driveway watching for my dad's car to pull up. Down her street, there she was, waiting. She was always ready to go. She didn't like to keep people waiting, and she really didn't like to be kept waiting. We would be reminded of that every now and then. Now, do I use that today as an excuse for my impatience? No, I had better not. I know better. It's not Grandma's fault. It's my own. I just don't always do better with waiting. Anybody like that? Are you? Well, to be fair, there are different types of waiting. There is the waiting that's, you know, has to do, like what I struggle with, when there's been a set scheduled time, like an appointment, a dentist appointment, a doctor's appointment, somebody's due to arrive at a certain time. Yeah, that's that kind of waiting. You know, that's why they call it the waiting room. You got to love that. That irony's not lost on us, is it? Yes, in that type of waiting, if it goes 15 minutes beyond the appointed time, can your feet start tapping? Mine do. That's not good. And I've been learning. I have learned, and I continue to learn to allow God to use those times of waiting to teach me about being patient. That's one type of waiting. And when we know the scheduled time and we're kept waiting beyond that, or when we know the length of time that something's supposed to take and it's gone way beyond that. That's one type of waiting. And really, that's a fruit of the Spirit for us to learn patience. And so I've learned to take a book and to read and to do those things when I know that perhaps even though the scheduled time is set, I might be prone to impatience. And so I've learned how to work through that. And I continue to learn. But, you know, there's also another type of waiting. And that is really difficult for most of us, most of the time when it happens, the type of waiting for something when we don't know the time, the appointed time. When it starts, when it ends, there's no scheduled length. You know, the type of waiting when you're waiting for a loved one's healing from an illness. We don't know when that's going to happen. That's a hard waiting. Or waiting for a loved one to return from overseas military duty. And we don't really have a date. That's hard. Or waiting after a natural disaster for things to get back to quote-unquote normal. When will the floods recede? When will the buildings be rebuilt? That's a type of waiting that seemingly, it's hard to pick a schedule. It's hard. That waiting is hard. Or yourself waiting for your own cancer treatments to show progress. I've never been through that, but if you have, I know so many who have. And it's just so hard. There's no set schedule to say, okay, on this date, it's all gone. That's a hard waiting. Waiting for someone, all of us are probably here, waiting for someone that you love, that you care about so much, to come to Jesus. When will they make that decision to accept the Lord as their Savior? Waiting. Years, decades, waiting. That's a hard waiting. You know, working on patience and this type of waiting, when we do not have a schedule, a set time, that is so much harder. And this is what Habakkuk gives voice to as we continue our study today in Habakkuk. Remember, as we talked about in chapter 1 last week, Habakkuk had been crying out to God because God's people were being so heavily influenced and oppressed by the Babylonian culture, the culture of excess and evil. And just sinfulness. And it's just permeating God's people. And they were compromising themselves. and being influenced by that. And Habakkuk, a prophet of God and a teacher who loved his own people, was just so hurt over this. And he was crying out to God and asking, God, do you even see this? Are you even going to act? Well, then God answers Habakkuk that yes, indeed, God sees, and he is going to act. And a matter of fact, he is taking action. But he cautioned Habakkuk that initially God's actions might surprise Habakkuk, because God was going to allow Babylon to initially have its way with God's people. He was going to raise up Babylon. Well, that doesn't sound like a good plan, at least to our ears. But this is God's plan, and God's plan is always far better than our plan. So we see Habakkuk's response to the Lord as we take a look at Habakkuk chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Habakkuk says, but, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why, then, do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Oh, you've made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them with his nets. He gathers them up with his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net with and destroying nations without mercy? But Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, God, what you, God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So even though Habakkuk is very confused by what God has said he's going to do, raise up Babylon for the moment, Habakkuk knows God and trusts God. So Habakkuk can say, even though it doesn't seem to make sense, and even though Habakkuk doesn't know all the answers, he doesn't know God's full plan, he doesn't have God's timetable, Habakkuk knows God. He doesn't need to know anything more than the fact that he knows God. God is faithful. God is true. And Habakkuk has made a commitment that he will wait on God. He will wait. He will stand at his watch. He will station himself at his rampart, at his watchtower. He will wait until he hears from God. He's not going to run ahead from God. He's not going to try to come up with his own plan and try to gather people and fix things all on his own. No, Habakkuk knows God is faithful to his people, and God has a purpose and a plan for everything. And Habakkuk's most important decision is to wait on the Lord, to keep watch for God to fulfill his plan, to intervene, because he knows he will, because God is faithful. And the waiting process provided Habakkuk with wisdom. With the wisdom Habakkuk needed to keep his hands off, not to create his own plan, not to try to fix things. To wait, to pray, to seek God's wisdom, to listen. That is the wisest thing, the most important decision Habakkuk made. Where is it that in our lives, each of us needs to wait? To wait, to not get our hands involved, to get our fingers off what God is working on. Because he is faithful, he is true, and he is at work. We wait, we listen for wisdom. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a message from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study Time, just email me, Beth, at spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.